Welcome to this listenable moment with one of the best storytellers I reckon we've had on Listen Able. This was like edge of your seat stuff. He was so good, Chris Blows, at telling the story about being attacked by a great white shark. I didn't think he was going to make it. And then I'm like, oh no, I'm looking at you. You do make it. I know the end of the story. But I was sweating when he was telling the story about being pulled out of the ocean in South Australia after the attack. This is one of our most listened to listenable moments from the 7th of October, 2022.
It was actually Anzac Day, 2015. Me and my two good mates, we got up really early to go to dawn service. And because we're up so early, we decided we'd head out to a spot known as Fisheries Bay. I would have been surfing for about an hour and I just got a wave and I started to paddle back out to the suck rock. So I was probably in the channel in a spot where it was a little bit deeper. I was almost back at the suck rock. Then I got hit from the side, which felt like being hit by a truck at the time. But soon realized I was being attacked by a 5 meter great white shark.
How do you realize? Can you see it? Do you feel it? Do you get dragged under?
As soon as I had a hold of me and, you know, my scream instantly sent everyone scrambling to the rocks. It wasn't just a scream of, you know, I've stubbed my toe. It was, scream of sheer terror. So everyone knew straight away. I was very lucky that my two good mates that I was surfing with, they realized it was me and they turned around to come out and help me. By this stage, a shark had my left flank and the underside of my board and it was just shaking me around. Like a rag doll. Then it let go of me. I was off my board and that's when Nick and Brock started to come out to help me. I would have got within an arm's reach of Nick. I went to go reach out to grab his hand and we just felt this surge of water again and the boys lifted their feet. They instantly knew it was the shark. Not long after that, the shark come up behind me and pulled me down for the second time. You know, the boys just had this image burn in their mind of, they remember the little sensors on its nose as it's breaching the water, its eyes rolling back of its head before it bit me down and took me, my board, and everything. You know, I was sort of then fighting for my life under the ocean surface. So,
how long were you under for, bro?
I remember having to hold my breath, and the only reason I popped up is because it then ripped my leg off above the knee. So, I was, you know, I've got that initial bite mark on the hip, and that, you know, that left like hand size bite marks in my whole down that side, and you can imagine how blood I was losing from that, and then it completely amputated my leg above the knee while I was in the water. So
I was going to ask that. So it was a complete amputation. Like you could look down. Can you remember looking down and going, yeah, "Oh my god, where's my leg?"
I didn't realize. Like I started to lose lots of blood.
Yeah.
And I popped up then, and you know the boys are just swimming around in my blood at this stage, and I just wanted to get out of the water. This whole time we sort of knew where the shark was because it had my leg with my leg rope and it was just bobbing around. It's like a fishing float. So you sort of could see where the shark was the whole time.
Oh my God. The rest of your board was acting like, like what would be on the end of a fishing line to see if you've got a nibble.
Then I tried to climb onto Nick's back and we got hit by a wave. Once we'd regathered ourselves, Nick and Brock got on either side of me and they just frog leaped me to shore. I was very lucky that day that, you know, when I reached shore, that another surfer had already taken his leg rope off his board and that they tied that around my stump while I was still on the water. You know, if that went on a minute later, I probably would have bled to death right there. So I was very lucky that day. There was probably 15, 16 surfers and you know, they all worked as a team. They relayed me up this staircase. I remember them jumping over me, slapping me in the face, trying to keep me awake. They all just worked together. And then they threw me into the back of my mate Nick's Land Cruiser, which was already parked up the top.
So then you just rush to hospital.
Yeah, we got.
Is this a hospital that's prepared? You know, it is a country hospital in Port Lincoln, but are they prepared for shark attacks?
No, but you know they did a great job of saving my life that day. You know, I got 11 kilometers down the road. I met the ambulance, and by that stage, my heart had completely stopped, and the paramedics opened the back door of Nick's Land Cruiser, and you know I was laying in there completely lifeless, and I was, you know, wired as a sheet of paper. They honestly thought they were too late at that stage, but. For me, luckily, they tried and they got me into the back of that ambulance and they began to administer CPR straight away.
We're not talking about like 3 or 4 minutes of CPR and you were back. It was an extended long period of time, right, that they kept working on you.
Yeah. So my CPR started at 10 a.m. and it didn't stop till 11:15 a.m. And that's when I was in the Port Lincoln Hospital. So that was under transport from 30-minute drive from the surf break to the Port Lincoln Hospital. And then once I got to hospital, they were able to give me the blood. So and I had eight units of blood and 12 units of plasma, which was the whole unmatched blood stock in the Port Lincoln Hospital.
The whole stock.
Just shows how important donating blood is. Yeah, it is. Everybody.
Do you remember waking up and realizing the damage that had been done to you?
Yeah, I do. But I was very, very confused. I was on like lots of fentanyl. They pumped you with ketamine, all these pain drugs. And, you know, my physical injuries were the least of my worries at that stage. I was going into complete renal failure. Wow. And that was due to the blood loss. And the dialysis machine I thought was a Coke vending machine. And every time the nurse would go out, I'd be trying to hatch this plan, how I was going to get a can of Coke out this vending machine. So I honestly didn't know where I was, to tell you the truth, or what had happened. And I wasn't too about, you know, I was in juice coma for 10 days. But once I woke up and I had a couple of weeks to, you know, gather my thoughts, that's when I started to realise the extent of my injuries.
That was a listenable moment from the 7th of October, 2022, episode number 50, The Great Chris Blows. If you want to watch the full episode, you can. The YouTube link is below. It's fully captioned for people who are deaf or hard of hearing, or maybe you're just sitting on the toilet. And of course, the full episode, if you are intrigued by just that moment, exists below, just one click away. Have a great day.